of the news, behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that is going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, but please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line today from Great Britain, Maria Endine, and she is, of course, has been an observer of what's going on in the world for a long time, and she knew very well, close to 50 years ago, a woman named Nesta Webster. Now, Nesta Webster was one of the great writers of the 20th century, at least of the first half of the 20th century, and she wrote extensively about the world revolution. Now, what does the world revolution have to do with what's going on today? Well, very simply, the world revolution has been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years. Its ultimate goal is the establishment of a one world government and a new world religion. And of course, this is what's happening in Europe today as they begin to consolidate Europe into a European Union. First, lying to the people, telling them it was only about trade. And then, of course, they're saying, well, of course, it's only about trade and currency. And then, lastly, we're going to have a European government, but you're going to be able to somehow maintain your freedom, without understanding that the whole master plan is to unite Europe, to unite the Western Hemisphere, and to unite Asia, and then, of course, to bring these three areas together into this one-world dictatorship under a ruling elite, with, of course, I fear, a strong spiritual component that will truly be demonic. Well, Nesta Webster had been writing about this many, many years ago, her book World Revolution, many of the other books she wrote on the French Revolution, because the French Revolution was an important part of that, and of course, our guest today had known Webster, Nesta Webster, and was well acquainted with this whole concept. Maria, thank you so very much for being with us today. Are you there, Maria?
Yes, I'm here, Dr. Stan.
Well, to give us a little of the background of what is really going on from your point of view.
Well, what Nesta Webster forecast years ago is coming into being all the time. I'm particularly interested from the idea of stopping the idea of a United States of Europe, because this is what the Bolsheviks want. The Bolsheviks wanted. What struck me so much, you know, our writer H.G. Wells, quite well known, he said, he wrote, the Daily Herald quoted him, the Daily Herald of the 19th of August, 1927, he quoted him as saying, the separate nations will come to an end, and they will, in all probability, be replaced by the United States of Europe, the Republic of the World.
And, of course, H.G. Wells was part and parcel of this group of wicked men who wanted to unite the world. And H.G. Wells was deeply involved with this whole incredible movement. And if you trace his history, his writings of a book called The New World Order, another book called The Open Conspiracy, where he talked about how they would control Russia long before they would control the West. Yes. This is all part and parcel of a movement. H.G. Wells understood this. There is a master plan. It's being enacted today, but because they control the media, the average person really has no idea what's going on. Yes. Well, our guest today is Maria Endine, who we're going to talk to her about what she knew of Nesta Webster, what Nesta Webster has written, and, of course, tragically, what is happening to Great Britain, to Europe, and the United States today as we move towards from freedom to fascism, towards, I fear, another great Holocaust.
Yes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Maria Endine, and she's with us from Great Britain. Maria, thank you so very much for being with us.
I'm very glad to be here, to be in touch with you, Dr. Stan, and your Radio Liberty station. which I understand does send out so much truth to the people who listen.
All right, why don't you tell us a little bit about what Maria, pardon me, what Nesta Webster was writing about 50 years ago, because you knew Nesta, and then, of course, you understand how this is being played out today. So why don't you sort of pick up on this story there?
Well, we met her just as war broke out in 1938, and she lived in Cadogan Place, flat 6 Cadogan Place, and we met her there with her husband, who had quite a lot of experience in India as an Indian civil servant. And so she was in, and she was a great friend of Winston Churchill. She could get in touch with Winston Churchill any time she wanted. May I tell you something rather terrifying that she told me in the end? She was in the Isle of Wight and staying with friends, and the doorbell rang. Two men, dark hats on, pushed their way in with identity cards. The person opening the door couldn't find out what the identity cards were all about, and they searched her room, and they're looking for something, and they never found it, and out they went again. She was so upset and frightened that she rang Winston Churchill immediately. He said, "I will find out exactly who they were." He came back to her after a while and said, "No, there was no people from our intelligence service have been empowered to go and search your effects." And so these were mysterious men acting on behalf we never knew, but she was frightened. And so Winston Churchill came to her rescue there, in the sense that he said, "No, we can't explain it, and so be careful."
All right, fine. Well, of course, now, what was Nesta Webster's really underlying theme? What was she trying to warn the people about in her books, The World Revolution, The yes. French Revolution, and so many of the other books that she wrote?
Oh, yes. She wrote the first one, of course, The Chevalier de Boufflers, was very about the French Revolution. 1916, she wrote that. And then the French Revolution came on 1919, very, very important document, account of the revolution. Then in 1921, she wrote World Revolution. And then in 1924, she wrote Secret Societies and Subversive Movements. Then in 1926, she wrote The Socialist Network. And then the book I'm so fond of, I've got in front of me now, 1931, The Surrender of an Empire.
Hold that.
By Boswell.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Maria Ann Dean, and she's just talking about Nesta Webster, her books on the French Revolution, on the World Revolution, on this socialist revolution that is sweeping the world. And, of course, Nesta was writing her books during the opening years of the 20th century, but she recognized what any student of what's going on today recognizes, is that the French Revolution was the key. If you understood the French Revolution, and the fact that it was brought on by secret societies, and the Jacobins were simply a front for the Bavarian Illuminati, which had infiltrated French Freemasonry, I should say, in Europe, and of course they were also here in the United States. This is a worldwide movement, but this whole idea of the French Revolution was to bring about a utopian state without God. That's why the American Revolution succeeded, why the French Revolution failed. But yes. Most people do not understand that what was happening during the early years of the 20th century continues today, and of course the Nazis were simply another manifestation of this. What did Adolf Hitler want? He wanted a new order. And you go back and you watch The Sound of Music with Julie Andrews, and you'll actually see when they're having a party one night, and Captain Von Trapp is there, and the Nazi comes up and says, "Of course, you will support the new order." Well, that's exactly what our leaders want today, because they are energized by the same spiritual forces and secret societies that Nesta Webster wrote about. So why don't you pick up the story there, Maria?
Her writings made my father very interested. He's a New Zealander who joined the Royal Navy in 1914. And my father was very politically aware. And so, as a young girl, I started reading quite a bit about it. And I actually can quote Lenin himself. And he wrote, In the number 40 of the Russian organ of the Social Democrat in 1915, this was, he wrote this.
Now, this is Lenin?
Lenin himself.
Lenin, right, he writes.
The United States of the world, and not only of Europe, that is the state formula of the Union and of the liberty of nations which we attach to socialism, until the day when the complete victory of communism will bring about the definite disappearance of every state, even purely democratic.
And I think it's so important that we understand that the goal of every communist is a world government. But it's also the goal of the people who control America. If you go to the headquarters of the Council on Foreign Relations at 58 East 68th Street in New York City, and you can get into the Inner Sanctum where I've been on many occasions. There they have, under glass with a special light, a copy of their magazine, Foreign Affairs, the copy that Lenin had, the copy that he read, the copy that he wrote in the on the margins on, because you see, these people venerate Lenin, this mass murderer, the most despicable of all people, because his goal and their goal and the goal of the people in all of these covert organizations that operate behind the scenes has always been the same. Yeah. You know, from 1921, when the council was established, up until just recent years, you almost never saw mention of the Council on Foreign Relations. I think the first article that appeared in a general magazine was in Harper's in 1958. It had been kept secret until then, and really for many, many years after that, you almost never heard any mention of it. Now, of course, they mention that Dick Cheney comes from the Council on Foreign Relations, and Condoleezza Rice comes from the Council on Foreign Relations, and so many of the people on the president's cabinet and his advisors come from the Council on Foreign Relations, but they do not understand that this is a front for a secret society. It was formed here in America in 1921, but it was to be a front for a secret society that had been created in London back in 1891, created by Cecil Rhodes and a group of people who embrace this whole idea of bringing about a world revolution and a one world government. And of course, we're parallel to the communist movement. I've always worked with the communists. In fact, from the very beginning, actually helped and financed communism because they needed an enemy to rally the people behind our leaders. So you pick up the story there.
Yes. It's present throughout. If I may quote, you know, the United States of Europe. This is something which we very much fear. And very few people know that the part of the Single European Act was written by Altiero Spinelli. He was the author of one of the EU's key treaties, the Single European Act, and he was a communist. And so it went on that my family, my father particularly, was very much on the alert. And I can also quote to you Leon Trotsky again, in the same year that Lenin, 1915 to 16, wrote in the Nasha Slovo, published in Paris, and this quote is, short, "The United States of Europe is the motto of the revolutionary age into which we have emerged."
And of course, so people understand that every communist wants a united Europe. The major force, however, behind that is the United States. Now, why would we want to build up an economic competitor? Because the people who control America's loyalty is not to the United States. It is to this internationalist dream. They want to unite Europe. Then they want to unite the Western Hemisphere. Then they want to unite Asia. All of these things are in the process. And the fact that most people don't understand this, the fact that we fight wars is a diversion so people will not see what's really going on. Yeah. It simply is a reflection of the degree of control that exists of what the American people think. So Maria is pointing out that both Lenin and Trotsky supported this idea of a United States of Europe. This was, what, almost 100 years ago, 80. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the average American doesn't understand this is the fulfillment of a long-range plan, isn't it?
Yes. And also, as a person who believes in religion, the anti-religious propaganda is being put out all the time. There was a frightful Bavarian a man called Anachis Klutz, C-L-O-O-T-Z, who was an atheist, and he said, there is no such thing as God. He said, the people is God, and anybody who believes otherwise is a fool. So it rather shakes all those people who believe in religion, or whatever kind of religion it is. They are shaken and by that frightful statement by this man Klutz, who was a Bavarian anarchist. So that all those of us who believe in religion of some kind are apprehensive of the way things are going.
Well, of course, the thing is, it should be very obvious watching television, watching the motion pictures, that there is a conspiracy against God. They're indoctrinating our children against God. That's why they have to get evolution into the schools and God out of the schools. That's why our courts have taken God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools, because they want to raise a generation of people who disbelieve in God, because they can control the minds of one generation, they can control the country.
Yes. And another thing that I think is a great threat to us all, of whatever standing in education we are, is the political correctness and the theoretical struggle going on now from Lenin and Mao to Marcuse and Foucault. It's a book I've got here by a man called Frank Ellis, and it unravels all the political correctness. It was first published in 2004, last year, by the Maxim Institute, 49 Cape Horn Road, Hillsborough, in Auckland. And it's a fascinating book, because it uncovers, destroys the political correctness words and phrases which are used from the government down to the lowest newspaper. And what we are dealing with, you see, is the lack of logical thought. The policy of people is to muddle our minds so that we don't really know what we're talking about. And the politically correct worldview is inculcated by BBC directives and compulsory seminars and workshops, that people get muddled with words, and they get very, they feel very inferior if they don't go along with the politically correct phrases and clauses. And so this is something that we really must try to tell our young people to beware of.
And, of course, they use the education not to teach but to indoctrinate. They're even using many of our conservative organizations, our Christian organizations, our anti-communist organizations, but they never really tell the people the full truth. They tell them part of the truth. They give them the idea that they understand what's going on, but they really don't. They talk about conspiracy, but they never really identify what this conspiracy is all about. And it is a conspiracy against God, against Christian civilization, and this desire to create the New World Order and the New World Religion. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes. And, of course, our young people are not being taught their language properly in the schools. They are not being taught their history of the country. I mean, a lot of our young people are just, so ignorant, they don't even know who, if they walk through Trafalgar Square, they don't even know who Lord Nelson was.
Well, of course, how could they not know Lord Nelson? Why, he's right there on the Trafalgar Square. That's one of the centers of London.
Yes, they just don't know. And they're not really interested. And so I have been a teacher and lecturer in the past. And what I see now, because I had to leave teaching in 1975, I'm pretty old, because my father was ill and I had to look after him in the end. But what I can see now, those days in the 70s, 60s and 70s, that's when the rot started.
Now, we're going to have to interrupt you there. We're going to have to go to our breaks, our commercials, and then we'll be right back with Maria and Dean. We're going to be talking about Nesta Webster, her writings, and what's really going on in Europe and in America today.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been secret societies. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you will understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health despite their fatty diet because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest is Marie Ann Dean, calling from Great Britain. Please go ahead and pick up the story, of really what you see taking place in Europe and how this is really carrying out what Webster wrote about so many years ago when she wrote her book on the World Revolution.
Yes. One thing I can do is that people are frightened, even the police are frightened of saying anything that's too, might be considered outrageous by the politically correct bosses. And so that people are not arrested or crimes are not followed up because the police themselves think that it may end up in trouble for them. So that our Western societies are confronted with this problem, that people cannot argue logically about things. And so they avoid saying this and they avoid saying that.
I think, of course, when, for instance, a politician gets up and says America was founded as a Christian nation, he is immediately attacked by all sides of our media, whether it be left or right, and then he's demeaned by political leaders. And you have to understand that from a historical point of view, whether you believe America is a Christian nation today, if you look at it historically, of course it was a Christian nation. The Supreme Court repeatedly held that to be true. But no one dares say that today. And I'm sure that's true over in Great Britain, because Great Britain was once a Christian nation, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They've been very much shaken in their beliefs. All the churches, really, have been to revise what they have been believing and to pay obeisance to the fashionable, politically correct expressions. And this makes it, life is so artificial, really, in a way, that we can't really get to the truth of things. And so we have lost something very precious to our Western civilization. Policies follow, usually are the result of a philosophy. And the philosophy leads us to, why are we here? What are human beings? Where are we going? Are we in a maze? You know, have we any guidelines? And so everything is in a flux. And this is what makes people unhappy, and it makes people violent, and inclined to, you know, break out in a furious temper.
Well, do the average person over in Great Britain today understand the world revolution? Do they understand that there are secret societies? Do they understand the significance of the fact that once Great Britain enters the European Union, why England as a nation will no longer exist, that your freedoms that you enjoy as a British citizen will no longer exist? Do the British people have any understanding that there really are these dark forces that have been lying to them over and over again, that are intent upon taking away their freedom and perhaps their lives?
Yes. Do you wish me to go on, Dr.
Yes,
Dan?
Yes.
So I would like to come back to the point of the death of the last pope has made people sit up and take notice. And of course the last pope had very, very seriously lamented the fact that the Christian heritage of Europe was being absolutely bypassed, undermined, and destroyed. And so those people who are Roman Catholics, and many of the Anglican churches too, begin to see that what he was warning us about is beginning to happen. And so that the Christian heritage of Europe is being destroyed, and we can't be proud of anything we've done. In fact, we're told that we've got to be very sorry and penitent of all the things that Europe has done in the past, which of course is an exaggeration beyond description, really.
All right, fine. I certainly agree with that. So, but did the average Englishman have any idea what's really going on? Does he understand the implications of giving up their national sovereignty?
Oh, I think that now it's coming to pass that people in Britain are beginning now, especially after this general election, beginning to ask questions, and awkward questions too. And so some are getting their courage back, and I hope that it will lead to a reorganization of our political parties, and that they will say, when they say something, they believe it's their policy, they will stick to it and be true to it.
All right, fine. So you think that then there is an awakening in Great Britain as to the fact that the European Union was not simply an economic union, had nothing to do with trade. It didn't even have anything to do with the currency. It had to do with the loss of British sovereignty. People are beginning to wake up.
Oh, yes.
All right. Hang on, right. We'll be there back in just a moment with Maria and Dean talking about what's going on in Great Britain. Thank you.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you
have you ever wondered whether you're really getting the truth from the media? Have you ever thought that maybe somebody's controlling your reality? Well, there's going to be a meeting. It's going to be held at the Westin Hotel over by Great America. It's going to be on May 28th and 29th, and it's going to be at the Conspiracy Conference. Now, if you'd like to know more about the Conspiracy Conference, call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. This is the fifth exciting year they've had this. Dick Gregory is going to be there, Nick Begich. There's going to be Daniel Hopsicker, Jack McLam. I'm going to have a booth, although I'll not be speaking. You're going to see really the contrast between good and evil. The Conspiracy Conference is a great educational opportunity. We hope that many of you will give serious consideration to going May 28th, 29th. That's 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Will it start?
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, our guest today is Maria Indine. And of course, we have her on the line from Great Britain. Maria, why don't you go ahead and just get a little bit in the background of what you're concerned about, how you see this thing unfolding, and what the significance is of this move to destroy British sovereignty and, of course, secondarily American sovereignty. But as a Britisher, what this is going to mean and how this is all being played out today.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. I think we are now in the hands, or we're going to revolt against the politically correct bureaucracies all around us. As a teacher of English, I do think that we should know how to write a sentence. We should know how to find the difference between what is subjective and what is objective. We should be able to get the meaning of words clear. And I think our children should be taught this very, very much so. Otherwise, the politically correct, muddle-minded people will be in charge still. And you see, because we criticize some grammar and so forth, we are called judgmental. We mustn't, under any circumstances, be judgmental. Now, that is what we need to be. We need to know the difference between something that is objective and something that is subjective, whether it is whether facts can be proved. Well, they do in science, so why don't we in politics try to come to the idea that truth can be found if only we would search for it more clearly and carefully?
Well, I certainly agree, but I think the trouble is that because of the degree of control of the media in Great Britain, because, of course, I believe the leaders of both political parties, they're all political parties, are dedicated to exactly the same things, just as they are here in the United States. The people are not given a choice between going into the European Union and not going into the European Union, which has been the age-old goal of the ancient mystery religions, manifested in recent centuries by the goal of the secret societies. So how are you going to be able to reach the people of Great Britain and then make them realize what's really at stake when things seem to be apparently so good? Usually people aren't concerned until they've lost their freedom. They put off doing anything until a little later, and then, of course, it's far too late, and nothing could be done to reverse the process. So what needs to be done today?
Well, I would suggest that people, those who can, should examine the whole idea of political correctness, and to show that Lenin and Mao and the communists have set the scene for political correctness. If you can't, if they don't agree with you, then you're politically correct and incorrect, and you should be criticized and got rid of.
But of course, Nesta Webster, writing almost a century ago, realized that communism was simply a manifestation of this whole world revolutionary movement, and it was really working right along with people in the West. Didn't she recognize that?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite get.
Well, didn't Nesta Webster realize that that communism was actually in many respects being financed from the West, being helped by the West? That communism certainly was not the sole enemy, but was simply part of this whole menagerie of organizations working towards world government.
Yes, exactly. Her book, The Surrender of an Empire, is really my little political Bible, because she goes right through the whole of the British Empire and how it was got rid of by those, the globalists, who didn't like the idea at all. Her husband had worked in India as a civil servant for 20 years or more, and at the time then there was no problem with the Indians being anti-British. And I had, for instance, my father's older sister had married a New Zealander and been sent to Western Nigeria, to the Benue River District. And his job as a surveyor to find out whether the ground running along the banks of the river, Benue, could be strong enough to take a railway line. And my aunt went out there. She was the only white woman in 150 square miles. This is 1920. And she was not feared, she wasn't fearful of being attacked or raped or anything like that. It was perfect order there. And it was only when one night they heard drums in the background, and she woke her husband up and said, "What's that?" And he said, "My dear, the tribesmen upriver are angry." He said they went out on his motorbike the next day and found out that they had been very much affronted by what the other surveyor, the white surveyor helping him, had said to them. And my uncle said to them, "Well, you are right. That man has insulted you. I will see that he's got rid of," and he got rid of him, and there was no more trouble. So you see, even my dear uncle, with no imperial authority behind him, was respected by the tribes then. And so, as Nesta Webster makes out, all the trouble in India was all churned up by the revolutionaries who wanted to see the end of us and see the end of our empire. So that's only just one little personal example I had of my family being in Western Nigeria. And also, Dr. Stan, I must mention this to you. In 1924, my father took us to the British Empire Exhibition in Wembley. And that was the most exciting. That was my first political experience, to see all the empire there in their various stands, and Indians with their lovely dresses, and Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and so forth. And that was my first political experience, and I was 8 years old then, and I've never forgotten it since.
Well, of course, this movement towards world government, though, will constitute the greatest empire in the world. And, of course, it will deprive everyone of their freedom. Certainly under the British rule, why there was a very benevolent rule, but there certainly is no suggestion at all that what is coming down the line is going to be benevolent at all, because these wicked people have created wars, and certainly they have backed the communists, who killed 60 million people in Russia, and probably 100 million in China, starved to death, almost 40 million people between 1958 and 1962, and there's a wonderful book called Hungry Ghosts. Try and get a copy of it. I've talked to Stephen Mosier, who was there, who actually talked to many of the survivors of this great Holocaust, and yet it's never mentioned in the Western world today. Why? Because there's certain things we're to know about, certain things we're not to know about, and I feel that we are really dealing with the ultimate evil. I believe the energizing force behind the world revolution is organized evil. Did Nestor Webster recognize the spiritual component behind the world revolution, Maria?
Oui. Yes, indeed. Oh, yes, she was very alert. And she was a very marvelous lady, really. Very quiet, very upper class, in the sense that she never exaggerated. She was always calm and encouraging, and she knew the history. But her books are incredibly useful. And also, I would like to add to that this other book I'd mentioned also, Political Correctness and the Theoretical Struggle, by Frank Ellis. It is a most useful book, just came out last year by the Maxim, M-A-X-I-M Institute of 49 Cape Horn Road, Hillsborough in Auckland. It's ISBN number 0476002354, and it's copyright, but it's really most useful for anybody who wants to think clearly and to know how we can be misled by bad education and ignorance of the meaning of words.
Well, we actually carry Nestor Webster's book, Surrender of an Empire, The Socialist Network, The World Revolution, and of course, The French Revolution. These are four of her better books, although there's other books as well, but these are the ones that we carry, and if you want to get the others, we can get them for you. It's so vitally important that the American people understand that the knowledge of the world revolution was there long ago, but actually removed from many of our textbooks, certainly removed from the Encyclopedia Britannica, and you can go there and you can read the older issues of the Encyclopedia Britannica, extensive write-ups on the Illuminati, on the Carbonari, on Bruno de Rotti's organizations, and people at that time understood, this was 1911, that this was part of an organized occult movement. Today, you pick up your Encyclopedia Britannica, and they just very casually mention these things, but never weave together an understanding that there is a continuing world revolution. And either we return to our religious faith, or America as a nation, England as a nation, the world will simply be destroyed and swallowed up into this one-world ruthless tyranny that's planned, which was energized by, exactly in my estimation, the same forces as energized the Nazi movement, the communist movement in Russia, the communist movement in China, and, of course, the move for internationalism here in the United States today, which, of course, incidentally, both political parties embrace. Well, Maria, certainly in Great Britain, don't both of your political parties embrace this idea of the European Union?
Yes. Well, they're very much intimidated, I think, by the elite, the big financial elite, who dominate our politics at the moment. Even the Conservatives are nervous of saying, we want out of the European Union. There are certain people like the British National Party over here and the United Kingdom Independence Party, but they're only a handful compared with the vast ignorant masses but they're beginning to wake up. And so I do think that something will come of it quite suddenly, perhaps, in the end, that they're waking up suddenly, and one or two very strong characters will come forward and show us the way to freedom.
Well, of course, H.G. Wells wrote, you know, millions will oppose a new world order and will die fighting it. I think that he wrote that about the turn of the century. But they anticipated exactly what was going to happen. They have certainly orchestrated this whole move step by step, very slowly, so the public would never really understand what was happening. And the genius was to create three separate blocks. And then, of course, once they were formed, why, the people would have nothing to say. After all, we're nations of laws. As our leaders and the European leaders and the leaders of Asia would then unite into this one world government. And so basically this is long-range planning. They know exactly what's going on. The last thing is they want for the American people to know what's going on. Did many people listen to Nesta Webster's warning? Did they read her books? Was she certainly widely known in Great Britain before she died?
Well, I wouldn't say widely known, but certain people, certain groups of people did know her, and like my father, would recommend her books wherever he could. But you see, people, especially in those days, they used to read more. But nowadays, the people you meet don't like reading. That's the trouble. They don't know when they've written a correct sentence. See, everything is in the muddle. And I think as a teacher of English, we should come back to writing correct sentences and looking at the implications of words.
But don't you think there's been an intentional effort to dumb down the students so that they cannot read, they cannot write, they do not understand the meaning of words? In other words, if you dumb down people, children, then they will never be able to think and think effectively and be able to resist the coming tyranny.
Yes, that is absolutely true. And so we must come back to education, 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 which Tony Blair told us was so important before he got into power. And of course, it's still education, education, education.
But of course, the thing is that when Tony Blair got into power, he did not do it any more than here in the United States. When George Bush, oh, education is so important. And what they did, of course, was not to come up with a program to educate, but to indoctrinate in internationalism and environmentalism, and to change the attitudes, values, and beliefs of our children. That was the real purpose. They say one thing, they have another purpose, and I suspect this is true with all the leaders throughout the world who are dedicated to the New World Order and the New World Religion.
Yes, and of course, the teaching of history is so important. We've just celebrated our victory on VE Day, and the Queen is now in the Channel Islands, and everybody's sort of rejoicing. But we must teach our children about their history, not in any sort of nationalistic way, but to show who have been our heroes and what was the system of government they were helping to protect and to save from dictatorial rulers. You see, they're still there. The problem is there with us, and so each nation, even the Germans, are now saying, you know, we're on against them all the time because of Hitler. Well, let them look at that best part of their history, their culture, their music, and so forth, and make their people proud of being German, in the same way as we want to be proud of being English, and all together being able to exchange ideas logically and fairly.
But of course, the thing is that there was no reason for the First World War. There was no reason for the Second World War. They were all fought as stepping stones to bring about world government. Yes. The First World War was fought to bring the League of Nations. The Second World War was brought to bring the United Nations, all aimed at bringing this world government about. Because the people in positions of power were the same, energized by the same dark forces we've been discussing. We've got about a minute for you to wrap up your thoughts. What are your final thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners today, Maria?
Oh, I should say, be hopeful. We've had worse times behind us, and if we believe in ourselves, we believe in a deity, and we believe in fairness and democracy, parliamentary government, then I think we can go with a bright step into the future.
All right, fine. Our guest has been Maria Andine, who, of course, lives in Great Britain, has been studying what's going on already for many years. She knew Nesta Webster, who was one of the really great writers of another era. And if you haven't read Nesta Webster's book, World Revolution, the French Revolution, Surrender of an Empire, Socialist Network, all of these are vitally important to your understanding of what's going on today. And Nesta died probably in the, was it the early or the late 50s? Do you remember?
Thank you very much, Dr. Stan, for all that you're doing.
Well, God bless you, and thank you so much. And we hope perhaps to talk to you again sometime.
Thank you
Bye-bye.
So much.
May the Lord be with you. Bye-bye.
All the very best of luck to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America. It's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
If you're looking for a residential care home in the Morgan Hill-Gilroy region, consider Morgan Hill Manor. The facility has private and semi-private rooms, 24-hour supervision, licensed vocational nurses, special diets, help with the activities of daily living, recreational activities, housekeeping, transportation for medical visits, television, private phones, internet access, personal laundry, hairdressing, and many other services. Morgan Hill Manor is hosting an open house at 17090 Peak Avenue in Morgan Hill from 2 to 6 p.m. on Thursday, May 12th. That's 17090 Peak Avenue in Morgan Hill from 2 to 6 p.m. on May 12th. If you can't attend, call Elsie or Jean at 408-778-9544. That's 408-778-9544 and request a brochure or additional information.
Your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Well, this is Archer Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course we hope that many of you out there will want to get a copy of my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, and you can get the book, you can get the video, you can get the audio tape, or you can get them all together in the Brotherhood of Darkness special. We want you to understand that there is an age-old plan. There have been the mystery religions down through the ages for thousands of years, manifested, of course, through the mystery schools that exist in the Middle East. We saw them then, of course, following the Crusades, the Knights Templar dominating Europe until 1307, the Rosicrucians, then the coming of the Masons, the Masonic movement, but all of them were founded in the ancient mystery religions. And what is this ancient mystery religion all about? Well, it is about the secret, and that is that the real God is not the God of the Bible, but it's Lucifer who gives you total freedom. And Lucifer is going to come to rule the world. At least that's what they believe. Of course, we believe that this is the Antichrist, but these people are working to create the world government for their king, King Lucifer. You say, that's crazy talk. That sounds like the X-Files. Well, if you read their publications, as I do, you would realize that these people may be misled, but they're not crazy. They're very wealthy. They're very well-founded. They're some of the most powerful and wealthiest and successful people in the world today. If you have not yet seen the videos we offer, they sold their souls for rock and roll. That's, they sold their souls for rock and roll. You need to get the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. We also have this in DVD, Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2. They're available in either DVD or certainly on video. But it's important that you have the information so you understand the true nature of the spiritual battle we're involved in. Certainly my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, pulls this together very, very well. Ted Flynn's wonderful book, called The Hope of the Wicked, we certainly recommend. All of these are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We have a number of four tape sets. If you knew of Father Malachi Martin, who was a Jesuit priest, you know, he had a wonderful grasp of what was going on. His books, I think, give you a tremendous insight into the geopolitical struggle that's taking place. But the spiritual background of that, and of course the four tape set, the wisdom of Malachi Martin is certainly one of my favorites. We have a four tape set on Aleister Crowley, who was a Satanist, was a 33rd degree Mason before he was invited to go into the upper echelons of Masonry, which most Masons don't even know exist. So all of these things and so much more on certainly on Satanism and deliverance, on the, what's happening in the Protestant Church today, as we change the music, as we change the message of the Protestant Church, people don't understand it's happening so subtly, so cleverly. And, of course, talking Christianese, but, of course, getting away from the scriptures into the new scriptures, getting away from the old music into the new music. But the question is our society really getting better? Are we going to be able to bring about world peace by joining Christianity with all the other religions of the world? Because that's what the peace plan being pushed today by the purpose-driven church is about. We're all going to join together into one big happy religion. Well, of course, if you believe in Christianity, you cannot accept that. So you need to get, of course, our books, Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church, or Deceived on Purpose, our four tape sets on this subject, to understand that the great apostasy is upon us. Again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our website, RadioLiberty.com. And we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for the wisdom of the people of this church. We ask you to pray for our leaders, and yes, for our ministers, many of whom are blinded by the promise of prosperity and success through a new management technique, but having nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because we're on the front lines of this spiritual battle for the survival of Western civilization. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.